All right. Welcome to an emergent episode of Spit Thursdays. You are joined by your girls, you know, and Riri on this beautiful, gloomy, somber Sunday morning. We are coming at you just a day and a half after yet another Black man's life has been taken at the hands of police. We have been focused on George Floyd over the last couple of weeks, and unfortunately, this situation has yet again repeated itself so soon after. But, and his name this time is Rayshard Brooks. So, for those of you who don't know, Rayshard Brooks is a young man who was sleeping in his car in a Wendy's, and someone called the cops when they saw him sleeping in his vehicle. Police approached him. There is a video actually of his interaction with the police, or between the police and Mr. Brooks, and he is explaining the situation. I think a lot of focus right now is on the Wendy's that got burned down as a result, but the background, for those of you who may not know, behind this burning Wendy's is another young unarmed Black man who was shot in the back by police after they tried to arrest him for doing what was right, in essence. So he's telling the police he was sleeping in his car because he didn't feel good enough to drive. It appears as though he was dropped off by his girlfriend after dinner. He tried pulling out, realized he couldn't make it all the way home safely, decided to pull back into the parking spot that he was in, sleep it off, and this is what he told the police officers who approached him. The police officers appeared to just keep wanting to give him this breathalyzer. The young man finally agrees, and after a little bit more of conversation, the officer decides that Rayshard Brooks is not safe enough to drive and tries to arrest him. A scuffle ensues. Rayshard Brooks tries to run. The police officers illegally shoot this young man in the back and kill him.
So everything, this is all pretty newly developing. From what I read and saw this morning, it's uncertain whether or not he was sleeping in his car blocking the drive-through the drive-through for Wendy's. I want to say that's what prompted somebody to call the police, was that somebody was blocking the movement, the flow of the traffic for the drive-through. And when the cops show up, you're right, he does agree to the breathalyzer. They get into some scuffle trying to arrest him, and in the process, he grabs a taser gun from one of the cops and starts running. And what really frustrates me about this situation, well, there are a lot of things that I'm worried people will focus on inappropriately, that he, like, I don't know, took the taser gun. One of the big things for me is this cop good? Like, what would you say in the court of law? Are you going to plead self-defense, because at the end of the day, the taser gun is supposed to be the non-lethal option to apprehend victims or victims, suspects. So I can't fathom why anyone would point a gun and shoot to kill when his back is turned towards you and he doesn't even have a lethal weapon on him. There's no, it's indefensible, at least from what I can see. Somebody this morning had actually even brought up to me that he was driving intoxicated, which blows my mind that that would even be a statement to come out of anybody's mouth. Oh yeah, but this was leading up to it. It's the same thing as anyone against the movement who brought up any of George Floyd's past history or this alleged counterfeit dollar, $20 bill. I'm sorry, how many people in America have driven drunk, driven under the influence, and not gotten shot and killed because of it? Countless amounts. So I just couldn't believe that somebody had even said that, you know. I guess mm-hmm. I should get used to believing that, because people are coming up with all sorts of things to justify an unjustifiable action.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the people got angry and came through and protested and ended up actually burning down that Wendy's where Rayshard Brooks was murdered. I do want to take a second real quick to just say his name again, Rayshard Brooks. He was young. He was 27 years old. He had 3 daughters. He was shot and killed on Friday night. He's got a 1-year-old daughter, a 2-year-old daughter, and an 8-year-old daughter. His 8-year-old daughter's birthday was on Saturday, the very next day. That poor little girl didn't get to see her father on her birthday because he was murdered by injustice just a couple hours before. So I know that rioting has been such a touchy subject for people, whether no matter what side you're on. But I will say, burn the motherfucking Wendy's down. That's fucking fine. I also can't wait to see what Wendy's response is.
You know, Wendy's and their Twitter, I think they are pretty well known for some of the best responses you can get on social media. And I want to believe that they're going to align on the side of it's one building. They've got thousands of restaurants across the states. But I haven't seen what their stance is on recent events yet. I do acknowledge that is the employment of many people, and now that building is burned down, they're among those who have lost their jobs, and I acknowledge that. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That sucks. However, it sucks to die when you're innocent, you know, to be killed when you're trying to do the right thing or where you're minding your own business or doing nothing at all, and it ends up with your life is gone. Your family's lives are shattered. Rayshard Brooks' young daughter will always associate her birthday with the death of her father, and she will be carrying that for a very long time. That's not fair. But you know what? Wendy's will be able to rebuild. This family, who knows how long it'll take them to rebuild.
Oh, yeah. I have hope that they'll pull through and support the movement still. One thing that, excuse me, also is really interesting to me is this, I don't know if it's the media, because they, from all the articles that I've seen, it's pretty clear, like, what happened prior to the Wendy's burning down, that, you know, there was another black man shot by a white cop. But interestingly enough, like I said, I had posted a little blurb on Instagram, and it was vague enough that if you knew about the incident, you knew what I was referring to. But if you didn't, you wouldn't have known. And that was my bad. So I ended up taking it down and putting up a clearer post about what had happened. But people were reaching out to me and asking me what it was that I was upset about. And multiple people had said that they had heard about the Wendy's burning down. And you just associated it with the protests and the riots. But they didn't hear what, like, preceded the burning of the Wendy's. And so I'm wondering, you know, is that the media's fault for not making it clearer? Maybe the news was developing as people were hearing about the Wendy's burning, and so they didn't get that information yet. Because yesterday when I had seen it, you know, like, article after article after article talked about the scuffle, the shooting, the death, and then the burning of the Wendy's. So was it that, or was it just people seeing a image of a burning Wendy's and assuming it was the rioting protests?
I think, and this has been part of the conversation on social media, is you hear about a burning Wendy's, and because of what's been going on the last few weeks, you don't assume or presume that it's associated with an isolated incident. You lump it up with what's being addressed in the national news. And unfortunately, a lot of these murders are occurring, but local news is covering it, but it doesn't get the national attention. So when I heard about it yesterday, I got an alert from CNN on my phone probably around noon on Saturday. And so what I knew was Rayshard Brooks killed by a white cop. And then I think a couple hours later, I heard about the Wendy's burning down as a result of people protesting this injustice that just occurred. And so on social media, I think it's flipped. You get the burning of the Wendy's, you don't necessarily look a little bit further into that. And so I think it depends on where you're getting your news source from. You know, I think had I gone online or on Instagram, I probably would have seen burning Wendy's and would have just kept scrolling if there was not a clear connection to why that Bernie's or Wendy's got lit up.
I guess I don't even know.
Yeah, it's remarkable that in the wake of literally global protests for Black Lives Matter, for police reform, for justice for George Floyd and his family, that there are still people who hold on so dearly to their ignorance and to their presumptions of fear and to false stereotypes, namely people in power. And by people in power, I mean cops with guns who keep hiding behind, oh, he was a threat, to justify this unjustifiable act. And so the attorney that is taking the case for justice for Rayshard Brooks addressed the media. And in the clip that I saw, the attorney stated that eyewitnesses saw the cops pick up their shell casings after shooting this man in his back from running away. And a possibility in that is that they didn't want it to be clear how far away this man was when they opened fire on him.
Too bad there are fucking video cameras
everywhere. Everywhere.
What kind of evil has to consume you to realize that you potentially have done so wrong that you have to wipe the scene?
Right.
What is that? Right. I cannot, oh my gosh. Like, why does accountability not exist in this system?
Mm-hmm.
All they have, all they know is protect your own.
Mm-hmm.
How is that okay to still be ingrained? You know, I know that there are individual biases. I know that. But the system as a whole, not only to be biased against Black America, but to also have this rule of protect your own. How are you protecting and serving the people when you're shooting and killing the people and protecting your own? It's so evil. It kills me that this is even an existing system in our country today.
And there are just so many protections in place for members of law enforcement who act against the law in manners like this. And it's these protections that have allowed these heinous acts to have gone on for decades. I grew up hearing about this. I was really young when I saw the video of Rodney King being beaten by, I think, like half a dozen cops. Like, this has been on replay almost my entire life. And it is 2020 when police officers are really finally starting to be held accountable for their rogue behavior. Although I don't even know if I can say rogue behavior, because again, like you said, it's a system that is in place that teaches them, hey, no matter what you do, you have your partner's back. Whatever they say happened, you agree with, you don't say anything against. And if you do, there will probably be repercussions from your precinct for trying to stand up and speak the truth. And I am baffled by people who are okay with taking someone's life and not trying to be responsible for their actions. Like, what kind of pussy ass behavior is that? Like, if you're gonna do something, own up to it. Be a fucking man about it. Be like, no, this is what I did. I did that. And own up to that. Instead of hiding behind, instead of being able to like wipe away a scene, tamper with evidence, and putting in false reports. Like, what has this system gotten to where this is now normalized behavior?
I don't know, but it needs to fucking change.
Oh, I'm all for defunding the police. Like, I don't agree. I don't necessarily agree that wiping away the police in its entirety is the best solution. I think a really we need to reform the whole structure. We really do.
Oh, yeah.
And
The structure and the training. You shouldn't be trained to kill a civilian. You
no.
shouldn't be trained to perceive everybody as a potential threat
No.
and kill them.
No.
Because yes, you can assume everybody is a threat, just like we do in the hospital. We assume everybody's blood is tainted with something that could potentially destroy our lives. So we wear gloves, we wear masks, we wear goggles when things splash. Nothing that we do is aimed at hurting a potential threat,
Right.
eliminating a potential threat.
Right.
There are ways to assume that there is danger present. I don't even want to, like, this is a whole, obviously, 100% there is systematic oppression that needs to be addressed, but we also need to address the way that the cops are taught to respond to situations.
Right.
We just need to delete the whole motherfucking thing and restart. There is no undo. I want control alt delete, reboot the fucking system, start over in a humane motherfucking way. This is not the fucking military. We are civilians here. We don't need to be, the cops don't need to be taught how to kill a fucking human being because they think that they're threatened.
Right.
What is that shit?
Right. Their whole.
Yes.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Like, yes. Defund the police, as in take away money that is unnecessary for them and put them into other things where we can improve as a society. I fully support finding ways to eliminate police presence in places where they don't need to be. How people are replacing police with mental health workers, social workers, like just people who are adequately trained for the quote unquote threat that is perceived by the cops, who somehow, I don't know how this is possible, these people can handle situations without killing people. Unheard of. Unheard of. So I'm fully in support of that, but also leave enough money to control alt delete. Wipe the fucking system and start anew with completely new training. And if you've got these old cops there that just can't pass the new training, well, guess what? You're not fucking fit to be a cop. You are not fucking fit to protect and serve. If you have bias that's going to prevent you from protecting or serving, you're not fucking fit. If you can't pass the training sessions that show you how to protect and serve without killing, you're not fucking fit. Sorry, there are people who are not fit for fucking things. There are people who are not fit to be lawyers. There are people who are not fit to be doctors or nurses or accountants or scientists, astrophysics. There are people that are not fit for everything, and there are so many people that have the role to protect and serve that are not fucking fit. Oh Lord, I'm getting heated.
Why you are. Speak on it, Larry, speak on it.
we just it, it ev- there's so much reform that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And I am happy that these protests are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so be it that they're turning into riots. I'm sorry, but that needed to fucking happen, because look where it got us.
Right.
National and global attention. Right. You think that would have happened with peaceful protests? Peaceful protests have been happening forever. Now the people are getting angry, and the protests might, some of them, a vast majority are still peaceful, but some of them are escalating into riots that are getting national and global attention.
And let me just say, like, people have been angry. Like I said, I have been exposed to this type of news most of my life. People have been angry. You guys have all heard the songs. Most of you, or many of you, know these songs, can rap along to these songs, and maybe might not have made the connection to, oh, this rapper speaking against police brutality, yo, that's such a good job. No, this is someone speaking on their experience. This is someone using the form, their artistic and creative expression, to cope with the trauma that they have experienced in their neighborhoods growing up, to help bring attention to the fact that young Black men in particularly are dying at by the hands of police at an astronomical rate. It's not just a good beat. This is knowledge that is trying to be shared with the world. We have tried to do it in so many forms. We have tried the peaceful protests. We've tried music. We've tried a long list of things. And while part of me is like, yo, please, like, the looting and the rioting, like, it's low-key kind of dumb, but at the same time, and someone said it really great, and I'm going to paraphrase, when you have a young child who, like, just starts raging out and starts throwing things and throwing a tantrum, what do? You sit with them, you talk to them, you see what's going on, and you realize this person, this little kid, is angry, and that's how they're acting out, is because they feel as though they're not being heard, they feel as though their needs are not being met, and so in order to get the attention of an adult or of someone in charge, they just start acting out, and that's what you're seeing right now, is hundreds of years of being oppressed, is hundreds of years of not being heard, is hundreds of years of systems constantly putting us in a place where we are not equal to another part, to other let's just call it this, to the white demographic in this country. And so people are angry. And on top of that, you've got 2 to 3 months of shelter in place. People haven't had shit to do. This has taken on a world of its own, because there are so many levels, and people finally got to see what it is the Black community has been trying to communicate for so long. You get to see it. You get to witness the obstruction of justice and literal obstruction of breathing that we have felt for hundreds of years. And so people are waking up, and I love to see videos and images and just witness such diversity at these protests, because we are finally becoming united on something that has been not even the elephant in the room, but has for what every reason been a controversial issue where, oh no, racism is dead. Fuck you, racism is not dead. It hasn't gone anywhere. And now that we are living in a digital age where everyone has a video recording device in their pocket, you are seeing what we've been talking about. And so I'm with it. If you feel as though you need to just riot out there because that's the best way that you can communicate your frustration and you feel as though you need to be heard, you know what? If it's got to happen, it's got to happen. Because we've already been seeing some slight changes as a result of all the activity that's gone on in just over 2 weeks.
Yeah. I started protesting years ago. And at the time, it was frowned upon by a lot of my friends. You know when you grow and everyone grows and they start to develop their own like political views, views on society and social justice and injustice. And you're all still kind of connected while you're developing these things. And we all grow and learn in different ways, and we get to see the contrast, like the differences in amongst our friends, you know, or acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
So years ago, I had attended, I don't even know which one that it sparked this response from, but one of my friends just denounced protesting. And I couldn't believe that anyone would see such an issue with it. And his way of being against it was that it's like it's potential to for destruction, towards destruction, you know. And I at the time had to explain that protests are not here to destruct anything but injustice, you know. Mm-hmm. That's
the point of it.
That's what they're here for. There's no destruction of no physical destruction that we're here for, you know. And he found like one photo in like the majority of photos were all about these peaceful protests. He found one where some kid was just tagging up like the side of a freeway or something. And I was like, well, that's shameful. That's one kid. Like, it is what it is. We can't control everybody. We're all here for a peaceful protest, you know? And at the time I just kept saying like, protests are peaceful. Like, it's fine. And obviously now I have actually changed my stance, not even changed my stance, but some of the protests that are peaceful have succumbed to rioting. And I am also all for that. Because to me, it's just like you said, with a child who needs the attention, it's the way to grab attention from years and years and years and years and years of asking and begging to just talk about an issue. So if smashing down businesses is what's going to finally get us to talk about the issue, like I said, burn the motherfucking Wendy's down.
And kind of going off of that, I do want to make clear that there is a difference. I feel like we still need to make the distinction between protesting and looting. Because I know that there are people who take advantage of peaceful protests to enact looting, to intentionally destroy property, but that is separate from the issue at hand. Those are not people who are there for the right reasons. Those are not people who are acting out for the right reasons. Those are people who are trying to take advantage of the situation and go fucking rob the Louis Vuitton store or get some Gucci belts or whatever, or go steal a cheesecake. And that is those are two separate things. And a concern from a lot of the organizers a concern about these two different viewpoints converging in the same place is that you already know certain parts of the media are going to focus on, well, this is what protesting gets you. Protesting is violent. It disrupts your community. It creates destruction. It's anarchist. And these are people who don't want us to say anything. These are people who want the public to believe that people of color, the Black community, speaking up for justice, speaking up for equal rights, demanding such a thing is inappropriate. They shouldn't be, or we should not be doing this. However, these are also the same people who felt as though it was inappropriate to peacefully protest by taking a knee during the national anthem. So,
yes,
regardless of the way you look at it, they don't want us to say anything. They don't want us to do anything because they don't want to be faced with the truth and they don't want things to change. So when we protest, we are protesting against police brutality. We are protesting against racial injustice and racial inequality. We are protesting against a system that is in place to keep people at the bottom. And there will be side protests that are not as peaceful. And those are the ones that are going to be a little bit more activated. Those are, that's where you're going to see broken windows. And honestly, like, I don't know, like, people are going to do what they feel like they need to do. But just remember, there is a distinction between those who are there for the right reasons and those who are just trying to take advantage.
Mm-hmm. What really, obviously, it's tripping a lot of people out, but what really is tripping me out is the police instigation of otherwise peaceful protests into hysteria. Like, I honestly don't know if this has happened, like, in our, like, adult lives of these. Well, that's a lie. It has happened. But tear gassing peaceful protesters, exercising their rights as an American citizen because they're what, protesting against cops? What, why are we tear gassing these people? Why are the cops showing up in riot gear?
Mind you, tear gas isn't even used in warfare. Like, it's not allowed to be used during times of war. So while the military cannot use this when we are at war, they can use it on civilians in the country that they took an oath to protect. It doesn't even make any sense. And to disrupt people's right to protest and to protest peacefully and to create a situation that it was never organized or intended to be, again, it baffles my mind that you would use flash bombs, flash grenades, tear gas, pepper spray to break apart a group of people who are just trying to get their voices heard, who aren't doing anything. They're kneeling, they're laying, they're standing with fists up. They can be silent, they might have chants, but there's no reason to use such extreme forces on them, to pull down someone's mask so that you can spray their face directly with pepper spray, to spray pepper spray from a moving vehicle onto protesters who are just standing on the sidewalks, to trap protesters on the side of a freeway and then shoot them with tear gas. It seems as though the violence that has come out of a lot of these peaceful protesters is coming from police more than it is civilians.
Protect your own.
And when we have an institution whose goal is to protect your own, but we arm them with pistols, we arm them with rifles, we arm them with batons, we arm them with tear gas, but their goal is not to protect the citizens, it's to protect each other. How does that make any sense? How do you expect to see progress done? How do you expect to see their oath of protecting and serving, because honestly, they're protecting and serving themselves and not the people who are paying their salaries.
Can you imagine? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Can you just like the like I said, the existence of this idea of protect your own is just so wild. Like, I'm thinking again in terms of our careers. Like, can you imagine in the nursing world if our like rule, if even though we're supposed to like, actually we are the protectors and servers, mm-hmm. really thinking about
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We protect and serve. And can you imagine if instead we were protecting our own? So any nurse that was like dangerous, we would protect over the life of our patient, over this human being, this citizen, or no, not citizen even. It doesn't even fucking matter. It's just a human being. Like, can you imagine? What? How do you even get to that point? Like, it's so evil. It's so fucking evil to me. These are human fucking lives. You protect and serve the human life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like literally just imagining like if somebody like is just malicious or just fucking not fit to be a nurse, you know, mm-hmm. and instead of protecting the patient, we watch the patient die and protect the nurse from like getting fired, losing her job, going to jail. Like,
that makes no sense. Like,
no, it makes zero sense.
Like, you would see so many patients just dying left and right, but no one would say anything because
we're protecting our own. Like,
I can't even imagine being part of a career where that would be okay. Like, as a human being with a conscience, I can't co-sign that at all. Like, you see something wrong happening, you say something, because the whole point of health care is to care for a vulnerable person and make sure that they are safe and can eventually go home.
But okay, so that reminds me of that famous study that was done, I think it was done at Stanford University, that we had to learn in nursing school about the college students who mm-hmm. were split into, it was like a psychology mm-hmm. class. The college students were split into two groups and it was supposed to imitate like a functioning jail.
Right.
So you had the people in authority, the cops, and then the people who were in jail, supposed to be the inmates. And the change in the college students' mental, I don't even know, like their reaction, their responses, their ability to absorb their role
mm-hmm.
was so drastic. It was causing significant mental distress and emotional distress to the college students that were playing the inmate role
mm-hmm.
that they had to stop that the study or the whatever it was, they had to stop it like in the middle of it because it was causing some serious trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you think about today how this study exists and we have to learn about it in school, at least like as healthcare professionals. And we know that this is a thing where maybe you do have good people and then they're placed into these bad roles, like inherently bad roles. And they learn to become part of this role. That only boldens to me the need to eliminate what we already have, because it's obviously causing distress. It caused distress in the students. So now you put that on a global scale, why wouldn't you see that it's causing nationwide distress?
Mm-hmm.
And if we had to stop the study, why aren't we stopping the global implementation mm-hmm. of that study,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
aka the force? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we stopping what we already know is an issue and reforming it completely? Mm-hmm. Like I said, control, alt, delete, restart, and creating one that doesn't cause such awful polar extremes of authority and subordination. And on top of it, we have to fight systemic oppression. Like, there's just so much shit to fight.
There are a lot of layers, a lot of layers. And I think we've given too much power to law enforcement. And this is the result of that. And however, like, the institution of policing is such that they can police communities of color and keep them in line, since slavery has been illegal and unconstitutional. So they needed to find a different way of enacting this oppression. And this is where we are, where cops feel as though they can do whatever they want to whomever they want, and they feel as though they don't even have to give a reason for it, because someone will back them up. And if you have two cops saying one thing, as a community, we're told that their word is law, and that whatever they say has stronger precedence in a court of law than the word of a civilian. And we've seen it time and time again, where you have innocent people on death row because the cops are like, no, this is what you did. And they're like, Negro, no, I did not. Like, I wasn't there. But they're able to spin it in a way where it's like, well, no, we are telling you this is what happened, and so it happened, the end. And how do you have a structure, like, how do you have that in place in society where you've given that kind of power to a group of people who don't know how to wield it for the better of the community? And I commend, like, there have been a couple of cities that have already, and Los Angeles is one of them, that has already taken stakes at reappropriating funds from the police department into the communities. But then looking into it, so one of the things I learned recently is that I think at NYPD and LAPD, their budget is in the billions with a B.
Bro, we can't even get free fucking coffee at work.
Well, we can't get masks and BBE to protect us from a global pandemic.
Bro, I just want to get a new mask maybe every other hour. Is that too much to ask?
Like,
meanwhile, the fucking cops are out here with billions of dollars for one motherfucking department.
Yo, a box of masks has to cost, what, like $3? But these fools are out here in straight up military grade protection and weapons, and we're calling them
a mask.
It doesn't make any sense.
Bro.
Like, think about that.
Ridiculous.
Think about that. People whose lives are actually in danger because of an actual threat, and this threat is a virus that we don't have a cure or a vaccine for, that is an actual threat. You telling me someone running away from you is a threat? Are you out of your motherfucking mind? Okay. Okay. So a couple weeks ago, LaRuri and I decided to join a protest out here, and I have to say, like, it's been a while since I joined a protest. I think, like, my last presence at a protest was for Occupy Wall Street, so it's been some years, but I couldn't operate just sitting on my phone. And it's not to say that social media is definitely a strong platform for protesting. That is honestly where I get a majority of my news and updates regarding, in particularly, the events of the last couple of weeks. And I have to say, like, I was filled with so much joy to see diverse people who were out there speaking for what was right. And it gave me hope. Like, we've all seen the hashtag. There have been hashtags for years. We've had Tamir Rice, we've had Sandra Bland, we've had a long list of hashtags over the last few years. And every time, like, it's felt like the same, kind of the same process. We get upset, we create a hashtag, we share that hashtag, we go out and protest, protests are peaceful, And then it kind of dies down after a couple of weeks. But honestly, this feels different. And this is different. And it's different in the sense that, like we've mentioned, this is global. We've got the Amish coming out. I'm not even sure how they heard about it, but like the Amish are here for us.
The Amish the pigeons are sold them.
Yo, they answered the call and they're pulling up. We've got people in over 18 countries who know the name of George Floyd and are demanding for justice. And I want to just say to anyone who's listening, do not ease up on this. Like, we are about 2 weeks in, and I feel as though there's been a shift in the posts that I've seen online, and it's, in a way, it's good because there's a lot more positive news. And for my mental and emotional, I needed to hear and see the good things that are happening. But at the same time, it's like there seems to be like the gas pedal on the protest is kind of easing up. And y'all, we cannot ease up. We have to keep going. This is not something that's going to change in just a couple of weeks. And I know we are the generation of immediate gratification, but that's not how changes, like the ones that we need to see, are going to happen. This is going to take some time, but we keep putting pressure on the right people and the right people who are in the right places that will hear us and do something. Like, it's happening. Changes are happening, but we need more. We cannot ease up.
Oh, yes. I am so stoked about the amount of people that are now waking up and participating and self-educating.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I had protested actually when Trump became president, and obviously that was a very sad day for most of America.
Yeah.
And one of my friends couldn't understand why we were protesting. And he was like, I don't get it. Like, what difference do you think that's going to make? Why are you even protesting? He's going to be president for the next 4 years. And I told him, I was like, yeah, you're right. He's going to be fucking president for the next 4 years. But what's happening when we protest is that all the other people in America that you don't even think about that are scared of his racism and his bigotry, his misogyny, all of this, they know that they're not alone in this country. That people are standing up and saying, you know, by the way, this is not my president. I mean, unfortunately, he's POTUS right now, but he's not my fucking president.
For now.
I'm gonna stand for his motherfucking racism. You know, like, but basically, like, he doesn't stand for what we stand for, and we want y'all here. And that, the big thing I was trying to tell him was, like, you can only think about yourself and what the protest is doing for you, which is nothing because you're a white man. You, of course, you couldn't understand, but our immigrant families at home who might be scared that, oh, shit, they elected this guy president, people are thinking his way, which, you know, obviously there are people who are thinking that way, at least that they know that there are other people in this country that are standing with them, not against them. And for that, like, so you fast forward to now, and what you said, the protest that we had gone to here was so diverse, and obviously, I can only speak from my perception. I thought it was pretty fucking cool. Like, wow, look at all these motherfucking people from all sorts of motherfucking walks of life. Pull it up, understanding injustice, and being like, yo, that's fucked up, and I'm here with you. That, to me, is so powerful. And the fact that it is spread not only through our nation, but on a global scale. People in other fucking countries, New Zealand, fucking Japan, like, what? they're over there being like, yeah, that's fucked up. We're going to stand with you guys too.
Mm-hmm.
How dope is that? People are finally waking up and unifying. And I think that is such an important change that's happening, because we're a lot stronger as one person, right? Anyone is a lot stronger, not as one person, but as a union. Like, why the fuck did we become the United States of America? Because you're stronger as a fucking union.
Right.
Not a bunch of individual thoughts, but together you can achieve so much fucking more.
Right.
Weren't you talking about earlier? What was that video you said you'd seen about someone?
About the FedEx driver?
Yeah.
So one of the things I did last night before I went to sleep, per usual, get on social media, see what the latest updates were. And one of the videos that I came across last night was posted by a young Black FedEx driver who I want to say was in Jersey, but I could be wrong on that, who was in tears. He got to his social media after a traumatizing incident where he was in the back of a truck collecting some deliveries when a car not pulled up to him. A car nearly hit him. The driver called him a nigger, spat on him, and then drove away. And this was a young man who's literally just trying to do his job. And he is faced with unnecessary hate. For what? As far as he knows, he didn't do anything to this driver. He doesn't know this driver. They've never encountered each other before. But someone whose heart is so filled with hate and malice for people he's never even spoken to, who have never actually done him any harm, felt compelled to almost hit this man with his car, sling a racial slur, and on top of that, spit at this man. And in over the course of this video, you see this man just, he's hurt. He's so hurt that this had to happen to him and that this is still happening to people. And one of the parts that kind of really hit home, or like really touched me, was that he mentioned the protests. And one of the biggest questions from that video that he posed was, what is the point of all of these protests if it's not changing anything, if people are still like this? And I wish I hadn't. And again, we mentioned that there have already been mayors, governors, policies, bills that have been enacted, that have been responding, that are intervening much quicker in light of the protests. We are putting pressure on the right people, and the right people are starting to do the right things. But it's unfortunate that we are still going to have these ignorant ass mofos who are going to hold on so strongly to their beliefs and try and derail and distract from what normal people know is right. There are millions of people across the globe who understand that racism is very well and alive in America, not just in America, but focuses on America right now. And they're like, this ain't right. We want to speak up too. Unfortunately, it seems as though there are more people outside of this country who believe in that, and not enough people who actually live here to co-sign on something that really is just a basic thought, is that all people are born equal. We are all humans. We all bleed the same. We all pee the same. We all take a shit the same. There's nothing different about us except for the presentation of what we look like. And I am broken that while we can put the right people in the right places to do the right things, that there's still going to be this subgroup of human beings who choose not to see it that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's, there's definitely a process that has to happen. I truly believe that we are seeing some changes that, you know, I never would have assumed would have happened, like shortly after George Floyd was murdered. Mm-hmm. Those cops were fired.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking what, days, right? You know, this is developing. And I remember just reading that and being like, shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that they did that so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is unprecedented, you know? Then on top of it, we're charging them. Sure, they haven't gotten convicted yet, but bro, we're finally getting charges in a couple days?
Right.
Because, like, let's talk about that real quick. If I murdered somebody on the street, my ass would be in jail right now.
Immediately. Immediately.
Immediately. There's some fucking due process for when cops kill people. What the fuck is that?
No.
Like, so the fact that they were charged at the very least, you know, days after it happened, blew my fucking mind. The fact that they lost their jobs, oh, what fucking change? So there are things that are happening that are hard to acknowledge in the heat of anger and rage. But yo, that's fucking dope that the response is so much quicker now. And with Rayshard, that cop was, he fucking killed him on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Fired on Saturday.
Fired on fucking Saturday. Thank you. Should you be in jail? Yes. But, like, yo, at least you're fired, which, again, before George Floyd was unprecedented. That is some fucking change. Obviously hard to see when so much is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, there's still such heavy injustice. But that's like a little itty-bitty tiny baby step towards changing the system. Right. Now, to speak for the individual, that is a whole ballpark of its own. How can you pull the racism and bias out of an individual person or pockets of individual people? I don't even know if that's fucking possible. You could potentially pull ignorance out of people, but full-grown adults who've already built racism and bias out of their ignorance, I don't have a lot of hope that that'll change. But I have hope that we can change the view of, you know, our generation, the generations beneath us, you know, the kids that are gonna be, that are yet to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have the possibility, the platforms, and finally the momentum to change, to start to change the system.
Yeah.
So like you said, we need immediate gratification. That is hard to come by, but we are kind of seeing that in the mm-hmm. firing of these murderers.
Right.
But the systemic change is going to take time. And I have high hopes that we're going to go towards that direction.
Same. And I do want to say one thing. In parallels between what we do as nurses and these cops, if we intentionally killed someone, not only would we go to jail, but we would lose their license. And
we would lose our jobs.
We'd lose our jobs, but more importantly, we'd lose our license. Like, these yes. cops being fired, they're being fired from one precinct. It's not to say that they can't get a job somewhere else and continue to do what they've been doing. So what I want to incorporate into this conversation is there need to be repercussions for these cops who are killing people without any real motive or without any real cause. Is their badges need to be taken away, because if they're going to do it at with one employer, they're just going to find a job somewhere else and they're going to keep doing it. And so we need to take away their ability to do these things with the protections of law enforcement. And if that means you risk losing your pension, if you get fired, if you get charged, if you get convicted, or, and maybe also on top of that, like, you take your badges taken away, all that training that you did, all the pride that you saw in your family when you graduated from the academy, gone. You cannot work in law enforcement again.
Why isn't that a thing?
I don't know. It really does need to be a thing.
Bro, we could lose our fucking licenses for DUIs.
Right.
The cops can't lose their licenses for killing people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know.
That's some bullshit. Yeah.
I haven't heard a lot of conversation on that regard, but I feel like that really does need to be incorporated into the changes that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. I like that. What? I'm floored. I mean, everything has floored me. I'm just like in a perpetual state of being floored.
Yeah. I just lay on the ground because I'm like, I can't get up. I'm just going to knock down again.
I'll just stay here because I already know.
I'm going to be right back here in a second.
I'll stand up when it's safe again.
Right. Yeah. But it's been 2 weeks since it's been 2 weeks since George Floyd. So I feel like about every week I'm going to be up and down, up and down, up and down.
Up and fucking down. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they should lose their licenses to practice. Do they even? Is it called a license to practice?
They don't have license. They don't have
license. Because anybody can fucking be a cop. Like, exactly. I can probably enroll tomorrow.
It doesn't require a degree of any sort. You just have to pass the academy and pass like some tests at the end. There's no license. It's the badge that protects them. That's it. Anyone can be a cop, and we've seen how even the lowest of the low can become cops.
Oh my stars, we need to change it.
Yes. And
it
so
needs to be changed.
I am with all of the people who are on the front lines of these protests. Like, you definitely have support in me, in the RiRi organizations I have been donating to, just really looking into like how I can support organizations doing the right thing in my community and on a national scale. And we will list some of the resources for those of you who are still looking for books, movies, organizations to learn more on our Instagram. That is Spit Thursdays. And yeah, I totally lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
Get that part out. But yes, so in addition to all of these resources that Netflix has been providing, Amazon has been providing, a lot of these well-known companies, organizations have been providing on their socials. One thing that you definitely can do for yourself if you're 18 and older is to register to vote, and voting not just for the presidential election. However, y'all,
this motherfucker out of office. Cool.
If this is the first year that Snoop Dogg is going to vote, y'all need to come ready for November 3rd. My friend, register to vote so that you are prepared for that November 3rd election, because we can't do another 4 years of this nonsense. We can't. We really can't. And we have seen that the vast majority of this country stands against everything that we have been seeing. And the man who's in office right now wants to continue to put a blind eye to it and tear gas people who are protesting peacefully against it so that he can take a fucking photo op with a Bible he's probably never seen held read before in his life in front of a church that he is not even associated with. He's got to go, y'all. He's got to go. So vote. Vote not just for these presidential elections, but for your local elections. Do some research to see who your DAs are, who your police chiefs are, who your mayor is, because these are the people who are enacting this change. Shout out to Governor Cuomo, who is who's signing he's signing some bills, like some really progressive bills into place, and he I feel like is really going to help leading the charge. But also shout out to Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. Yo, she was the one who was like, oh, this fool killed somebody on Friday night, Saturday, he's out.
You got to go.
Bye. So yeah, there you don't have to do big things. You just have to do something. And if it's donating money, if it's donating your time, if it's voting, but really we should all be voting. There's nothing.
Educating yourself, educating other people. Educating other people.
Not just having the safe conversations with people who think like you, but really having these difficult conversations with people who don't see it the way that it really is. That's where a lot of the change is going to happen. So do your part, because together we can accomplish so much.
Amen to that. Thank you all for listening. I would apologize for the somber state of this podcast, except for it needs to happen. The nation is in a somber state right now, and hopefully one that will continue to spark change. But keep yourselves informed, keep others informed. And like Yuno said, make sure you vote so that the day before elections, we can all dance in the streets and sing, "You're about to lose your job."
Yo, we are going to come through so hard. Let's come through so hard for that song. This unofficial anthem of the protest, y'all, it can be the unofficial anthem for this next presidency. You feel me? You feel me? Okay, y'all, let's come together and do the right thing.
Stay woke and vote.
Yes. Thanks for joining us, y'all. Take care. Be well. You about to lose that job. You about to lose that job.